Hi, Peggy now.
I'm fine.
Time we'll call this meeting to order. Let the record reflect, time is 11:08. The day is Thursday, February 8th, 2005. Would the clerk, Ellen, please call the roll?
Representative Wilson?
Here.
Representative Gatto?
Here.
Representative Lynn?
Here.
Representative Thomas?
Here.
Representative Guerra?
Yes.
Representative Salmon?
Yes.
Chair Newman?
Yes. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum. Today we will be hearing HB 65, which is K-12 Public Education Appropriation Bill by request of the governor. Today we're going to be taking public testimony until 12:15 today. We'll try and fit in as many people as we can. House Bills 1, 18, and 73 deal with the foundation formula, and HB 30 and 65 are appropriation legislation. It is my intent to hold these bills into committee until Thursday, as we have reserved time for public testimony. There's a lot of people want to discuss this issue, and we do want to hear from the school boards, school districts, and any other stakeholders. This legislation is important. We all know that, and I want to convey mine and the thanks of the members of this committee for your time in providing this testimony. As I've said all along, we do want to hear your opinions on these bills. This is the time to do it. We'll begin today by welcoming Eddie Jeans and invite him to come on up and speak to us on HB 65 appropriation to K-12 by request of the governor. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Department of Education and Early Development. Mr. Chairman, first I'd like to thank you and the committee for hearing House Bill 65. As you mentioned, House Bill 65 is the appropriation bill for K-12 education as recommended by the governor. What House Bill 65 does is it appropriates for fiscal year 06 the amount of money required to fully fund the programs as they currently exist in statute. Under section on page 2, starting with line 7, there is some contingency language that would provide an additional $62 million in FY06, provided the legislature passes a bill increasing the base student allocation to $4,880. Also on line 10, there's an additional appropriation of $425,000 for the Military Youth Academy, and that's because that program's funding is based or tied to the base student allocation. Mr. Chairman, the legislation also goes on under, starting on line 13, section 2, an additional appropriation of approximately $64 million for fiscal year 07. In other words, basically forward funding the K-12 component for an increase in the base student allocation. That would be contingent on the legislature passing a bill that would increase the base student allocation to $5,190 for fiscal year 07. So as you can tell, Mr. Chairman, this piece of legislation establishes the base, increases the base for FY06, and increases it once again for FY07 through the base student allocation. There is one change that, or two changes actually. On line 14 on page 1, the pupil transportation number needs to be 55,027,100. And on line 5, the total would be amended to 826,037,800.
I'm sorry, say that again, would you?
826,037,800. And I believe the staff is passing out the amendment right now.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, on page 2, on line 4, the general fund amount would also have to be adjusted to 793,299,000. 500. Mr. Chairman, the way that the governor arrived at his numbers of 62 and 64 million was taking the estimated increase in the PERS TERS, the retirement system for fiscal year 06 of 38 million, and adding to that 24 million based on a three-year average of the Anchorage CPI, which calculated out to be 24 million. That was based on a 2.47% three-year average. We then carried out the same thinking into 07, the increase in PERS increase of approximately 64 million for FY 07. Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer questions.
Do we have any questions from the committee for Mr. Jeans? Yes, Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Eddie, can you help me with some quick math, just an estimate? And I'm not saying this is proper, but we recently received a resolution from one of the school districts that said they could make some modest progress over last year with a base student allocation of 5,048. Can you give us, a per student, can you give us an estimate of how, in terms of actual dollars, how different that is from the governor's proposal?
5,048.
Yeah.
That would be rough numbers, about 40 million above the governor's number. So it would be in the neighborhood of 110 million.
Okay. Thank you. And just for the committee's information, and I'm not 100% sure about this, I think that's the number that I have from the Kenai Peninsula School District from a recent resolution. I could be a little bit off.
I believe you're right there. I've seen that resolution. Any other questions for Mr. Jeans from the committee? Thank you. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now we will invite some public testimony, starting with those around state. I need a list from the clerk. Okay, we will start in Kenai. We'll start with Melody Douglas. Melody, are you there?
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today, and I also appreciate the consideration to my schedule in this particular matter. So, again, thank you.
Can I also please state your name and who you represent for the record?
Yes, thank you. My name is Melody Douglas. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. And I want to express appreciation for Governor Murkowski's proposal for educational funding. It's commendable in its shift in philosophy for K-12 education. It sets the funding for 2 years, and it would stabilize the process now experienced in school districts, and that is of the non-retaining and rehiring of staff based on availability of funding. I'm going to kind of touch base on all the matters for educational funding today because it's all encapsulated. And basically, we are a proponent for funding inside the cap for the PERS and TERS funding. We have a modest change in our staffing formulas to try and recover some of the cuts we've made in recent years for staffing reductions. This district does, however, utilize now, due to ongoing reductions, regional administrators, regional librarians, regional counselors, and regional quest delivery. And this is a major departure for a major school district, in my view. And I would just remind folks that the Kenai School District reduced just a very few years ago 70 staff members from our employment. And in that year, we reduced our certified teaching staff in the classrooms 10%. So those are the issues that are the background for my comments today. As we all know, healthcare costs are going through the roof. Our insurances, property, liability, workers' comp are going through the roof. So the issue for the school district is, of course, as with everyone, this base student allocation. Our Board of Education, in action last night, revised their number for what we would need to deal with the staffing challenges that are before us in our to reduce our class sizes. They've changed our base student allocation need to $5,086. with a request for additional funding targeting area cost differential challenges for the Kenai School District. So I would like to ask for consideration of $5,086 on a base student allocation on behalf of the students in Alaska. And I would also ask for consideration to be given to seriously looking at the governor's proposal to forward funding that truly would be a momentous change in this state and would stabilize education. So I strongly request that you continue to look at that recommendation in philosophy change from the governor. With that, I thank you for the opportunity to speak today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Douglas. We'll take one more from Kenai here.
Yes,
We do have a question for you, Ms. Douglas, from Representative Gatto.
Are you still online?
Yes, we are here. I'm Sammy Crawford. I'm president of the school board.
Hold on.
We want to go backwards.
We had a question for Representative Gatto for Melody Douglas.
Yes, sir.
Melody, you mentioned staff reductions. Was that a function of declining students or simply a function of declining revenues or some proportion?
It's a composite of both elements. The issue with the ongoing increases in the PERS and TERS over a number of years, and then we do, as you are well aware, have a declining enrollment situation in the Kenai.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Guerra?
Thank you, Ms. Douglas. A couple questions. With the in trying to assess your need for the 5,086 figure, can you give us an estimate of how many teachers that might help you add? And then just going back a bit, the other question is, compared to last year, where would the pending governor's proposal leave the school district in terms of staffing compared to last year?
The 5,086 would allow us to add approximately 65 staff to the school district to address classroom needs directly. And the governor's proposal would allow us to add approximately 10 certified staff. As I indicated, we've had a modest change targeting our K-3 level, or K-2 level, actually, to bring those class sizes down. And the governor's proposal would leave us short of $1.7 million. We actually would need $49.80 on the base student allocation to break even on our preliminary budget as presented.
Just to follow up on that last point, I'm not sure if I understood. The governor's proposal would allow you to add 10 staff, or the governor's proposal would leave you short? Just to explain that again.
The governor's proposal brings us to $1.7 million short of our preliminary budget. That includes approximately 10 additional certified staff members targeted to K-3. So the district would need to either cut costs in other areas or allocate a $1.7 million fund balance allocation.
Is there a way to... Maybe you don't have this answer. I'm just trying to find out if the governor's proposal would let you... I understand the governor's proposal would leave you $1.7 million short of adding 10 staff, but do you have an assessment of whether the governor's proposal, if left as is, whether if that was the proposal that passed, whether that would require allow an addition or a reduction of staff?
The governor's proposal would require, if the governor's proposal were funded as it is at this point in time, the Kenai School District would be required to allocate fund balance or cut costs.
All right, thank you.
Representative DeGatto?
I'm going to kind of just go with Representative Garris' question, because I didn't understand the answer. If indeed you get the governor's proposal, the next action you take is either you cut 10 positions or you keep the 10 positions and do something different.
That's correct, sir.
Which one is correct?
Well, that would remain up to the Board of Education to determine how they would like to proceed with our budget. If they chose to leave the staffing formulas in place as recommended, then and not allocate fund balance, they would direct the administration to make cuts in other areas of the district's budget.
So you would keep the staff. There would not be a reduction.
Respectfully, sir, I would not like to speak for the Board of Education. However, it's my belief that they would leave the staffing formulas intact as presented and make cuts in other areas of the budget.
Good.
Okay, is that all we have from the committee? Thank you, Ms. Douglas. Now we can hear from Sammy Crawford.
Thank you very much. And I just would like to reiterate what Mrs. Douglas said, that we do appreciate the two-year funding. It really helps in our planning. Our costs, as you know, we spend about 80% on staff. It's very hard to cut in other areas. And with the increases in PERS and TERS, with already cutting costs everywhere, going to regional administrators, going to regional gifted program, going to regional counselors, all of the things that we've already done, this proposal from the governor is a wonderful proposal as far as 2 years, but it doesn't help us in the short term. It puts us back where we would we'd like to move forward and cut our pupil-teacher ratio, in especially in our lower grades. The other part of our proposal that we passed last night is to do something to rectify the area cost differential. Because the Kenai has so many schools that are off the road system and our costs are so much higher, we were hoping for some sort of help in that area. And we've asked for $114 on the base student allocation to help with that.
Ms. Crawford, could you please state who you represent for the...
Oh, sorry. I'm president of the school board on the Kenai Peninsula.
Okay. Ms. Crawford, are you aware of where your community stands as far as allowable expenditures? Are you meeting total allowable additional funds from the district? Are you meeting that request? Or
you mean the 70-30?
Well, no, the 23% extra that the communities can provide.
Yes, we're at the max.
Okay, thank you. Local effort.
Yes, we're at the max.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Any questions for Ms. Crawford?
Sure.
Representative Guerra?
Thank you. Ms. Crawford, just on the class size issue you mentioned, just give us a sense of numbers. If the proposal you're putting forward passes, what would you be able to reduce class sizes to? And if we go with the governor's proposal, what would those class sizes be, just your estimate?
What we'd like to do is go to 18-1 in K through 3, 24-1 in 4 through 12. Right now, we are 24-1 in K through 3, 29-1 in 4 to 6, and 24.5 in 7 through 12. And we have a lot of classes that are over 30 in K through 12.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Thank you, Ms. Crawford. Right now, just so we get a little bit of difference throughout the state, we'd like to move to Kodiak LIO. I believe we have Dave Jones.
Yes, we do, Mr. Chairman. First of all, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'd like to thank you for giving us this opportunity for input. My name is Dave Jones. I'm the Director of Finance for the Kodiak Allenboro School District. And I'm not going to address each of these bills individually. What I'd like to do is basically address kind of an overall picture. The first thing that I'd like to say is what we're looking at or requesting would be a base student allocation value of $4,995. That's a total cost estimated for the state at $85 million as compared to the governor's $62 million. That figure includes the money for retirement within the foundation formula. There's two reasons that we'd like to see the retirement within the foundation formula. The first reason is that it increases the ability for our local borough support by approximately $200,000 by keeping that money within the formula. The second reason is that if the retirement money is funded outside of the formula, I'm going to be back next year talking to you for this year's money and next year's money, and you probably get tired of listening to me. The reason that we're asking for more money than the governor issued, and before I go there, what I want to say is I'm going to echo what Melody Douglas said in that we are very appreciative of the fact that the legislature and the governor is coming out saying we need to put more money in education, and the fact that we ask for a base student allocation value more than the governor is not taken lightly. The reason, though, that we do that is because when we formulated our budget for next year, we kept current staff and current programs. We had, for this fiscal year, FY05, we have three more students than we had in the district in the previous year, and we've projected pretty well a flat enrollment for next year. Anyway, I'll get back to when we look at the governor's proposal, it leaves us short by about $90,000 if the borough takes us to the cap, because the governor's increase or the increase in the base student allocation value increases the ability of our borough to give by approximately $492,000. They have, for the last 2 years, funded our school district at the cap. The borough is in the middle of their budget, just like we're all in the middle of our budgets. They've committed to try and help as much as I can. I'm not sure they'll be able to take us to the cap again. I know there's some concern because we passed a bunch of bond issues that people are going to have to pay for. Anyway, even if they were able to fund to the cap, we're still looking at making cuts with the same programs and the same staff that we have. And so we're looking at the reason that we have to make those cuts is we're getting hit by the same inflation costs that everybody else is. I'm not going to go down all of them, but I'd like to tag one of them for you. Our fuel that we've projected for next year's budget over this year's budget, increase of $180,000. And when that was first brought to me, I told my maintenance person that brought it to me, I said, it's got to be a mistake, go back and check it. He shook his head and said, here's the fuel costs. On October 13th of 2003, we were paying $1.07 a gallon. On November 1st of 2004, we were paying $1.83 a gallon. That's a 76 cent per gallon increase over what we're paying the prior year. That's why we're looking at a $180,000 increase. So anyway, what we'd like to be able to do is increase that amount. What would we do with the money? We would look at adding teachers at probably all of our levels, high school, middle school, and the elementary schools. We need people to address our problems in meeting No Child Left Behind and annual yearly progress. We need people to help in math, science, and reading. That's where we'd add those teachers. I don't have the class size reduction numbers for you. What I do have is tell you that those are the areas that we would target. I know we had the high school last night projected their budget and came with budget requests. They were projected for this year at a level staffing. Our high school population is actually increasing. Our high school principal asked for three additional teachers next year to address the areas that our students are having problems with, which are English language proficient, mostly related, but some math and science as well. So anyway, those are the figures that we'd like, and I am available to talk with anybody to give you more detail if you need it, but we really appreciate you having this hearing, and we appreciate the fact that you're dealing with it. And we're also appreciating with the fact that it sounds like you're going to try and bring an early resolution to educational funding so we can get our contracts out and have teachers worried about teaching kids and not if they have a job next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones, for taking the time to testify. We do have a question for you from Representative Gatto.
Yeah. Mr. Jones, I'm glad you're the finance director. Are you in favor of early funding or forward funding?
Yes, I am.
Well, then let me ask you a question then. You've just noticed the rather dramatic increase in fuel costs. If we have early funding or forward funding, doesn't that work to a disadvantage for you?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm looking for, and we probably need to have a conversation on if we're talking early funding or forward funding. There's a couple different ways to look at it. What I talked about was an early resolution of funding was that you, hopefully, I've heard by early March, you folks are going to come forward with the funding for the next fiscal year, or at least the base student allocation value for the next fiscal year. And I favor that because it allows us to hire teachers, and we don't lose teachers who are looking for jobs in other districts. The other talk about forward funding is currently what happens is we have to wait until the middle of October for our count. We have to issue contracts in April and May with an estimate of what our student count is going to be in October. And if we have a large decrease in student population that was unexpected, and we have a number of contracts that are out there, then we either have to pay for that out of fund balance, or we have to go through a process of eliminating teachers in the middle of the school year. What I'd like to see, what I call forward funding,
could you please wrap it up a little bit?
Okay.
A few extra seconds here to kind of bring it together.
All right. I was just going to say what I call forward funding is we could maybe say that instead of doing an October count, waiting to October to do an October count, we would have the funding that you pass in March based on this year's 180-day student count. And if people have increases, they could get more than 10%, they could get an increase on the student count in the fall.
Representative Guerra.
Anyway, thank you.
Representative Guerra has a question, Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones, just so I can get a better picture of the Kodiak Island School District's situation, so with your proposal, you might be able to add somewhere in the neighborhood of three teachers. Can you give us a sense over the last 2 years whether your class sizes have gone up, if this sort of gets you to where you were a few years ago, if it gets you ahead of where you were a few years ago in terms of class sizes?
Well, it really depends on how we target those teachers. If we use them at the elementary level, we would bring in reading specialists. We would not bring in an extra classroom teacher. We would pull kids from the classroom to address specific problems with reading, and so it wouldn't affect the classroom ratio at the elementary level. At the high school level, it would affect it. He's talking, we're looking at numbers next year of about, and these are average numbers, of about 30 in a class. He had asked for three teachers at the high school, which he thought would bring us down to about 27.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any more questions from the committee?
I got one more.
Representative Gatto.
Yeah, Mr. Jones, you mentioned a number of 4,995. Melody gave us a number of 4,980 plus an additional number of 5,086. I'm not sure if Sammy gave us a number at all, but if people from the same district are coming up with different numbers and different needs, I think what it complicates it for the people on the committee here to know exactly what your needs are.
Okay. And I understand that, and let me be perfectly honest with you. The reason that I came forward with 4,995 is because my school board met last night. We discussed the issue at length and talked about what we should ask for, and my school board came up with $4,995. My school board writes my marching orders, and that's why we asked for $4,995. One of the problems with why you have people asking for different amounts in different parts of the state is the TERS and PERS situation doesn't hit each district with the same amount of dollars. It's a variable that each district gets hit in a little different way depending on the staff they have and the debt they've built up. And so we may not be being hit as hard as the TERS and PERS as Kenai is, or those things, and that was one of the things that we looked at last year, that that the difference in the TERS and PERS makes it hard to put a handle on it and each district to say, yes, we agree, this is what we need. The other big variable that we have within each district is health insurance. You know, some districts, most districts, I know Kodiak, we're a self-funded group, and we go from year to year dependent upon our previous year's claims. And if you have a bad year of claims, then you have a spike in health insurance increases. So there's variables within the district that make it hard for us to all come forward and say, this is the $1 that we want, and it saves everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. We do have a lot of people that want to testify, so I would like to suggest and remind folks that we do have a lot of people to testify, so try and keep your answers as direct as we can. At this time, I would like to go to Iditarod and online with Joe Banghart.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for this opportunity. For the record, my name is Joe Banghart. I'm the superintendent of the Iditarod Area School District. Also in the room with me is my entire office staff, my business manager, and the director of maintenance. I come to you today as a superintendent, as a concerned Alaskan. My job, as you know, is to run the school district, which involves tending to important details like trying to balance the books, but also, and more importantly, helping to ensure that Alaska's children are well educated and prepared to graduate and meet the challenges that meet them in the world outside of our small school district. Allow me to familiarize you with some of the challenges of operating this school district. The Iditarod Area School District is not located on the road system and does not receive any local financial support for operation of schools. We are currently projecting at least a $500,000 deficit for the fiscal year 2006. This deficit takes into consideration current fund balance increases in TRS and PRS, cost of living adjustments for certified and classified staff, and the loss of several grants that have actually run their course that impact the overall district budget. This does not include a projected 25% increase in fuel cost, nor the impact this will have on cost of travel, freight, and electric cost at all schools. Recently, at two villages, the water sewer companies were taken over by other organizations, and they have raised our rates from $600 a month at both sites to $1,200 a month. This is a 200% increase in cost borne directly by the district. We are currently talking with another village, local utility organization, that has proposed a 118% increase in electric cost. Taking all of this into consideration, then looking at House Bill 1, 17, and 18, and other proposals, we are concerned. If the highest proposed offer, yes.
We do have your testimony in written form, which is a great way to provide that to the committee. Do you have any additional information that you would like to add to what has already been presented in written form? I don't mean to rush you, just want to make sure.
No, sir, but I have my business manager here if there's any questions. Okay, thank you.
Any questions from the committee? Representative Guerra?
Just quickly, Mr. Banker, I'm wondering, do you have a proposed base student allocation that would keep your district from making any substantial cuts this year?
I'll let our business manager address that for us.
We have not come up with a proposed based allocation that would help us. In our situation, when the base goes up, we have a funding floor, and the funding floor goes down, so it affects us even when the base allocation goes up.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Banghart. And what was your name for the record?
My name is Isabel Harrington.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Any questions, more questions from the committee? From Iditarod, thank you. Right now, we will go to Tok.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Carol Doyle. I'm the superintendent of Alaska Gateway School District, which, as you know, is an REAA. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you about our district's needs today. Here at Alaska Gateway, we appreciate all you have done in the past for education and that you have focused on education as a priority in our state. First of all, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our district. It's a district of about 450 students. These students are enrolled in 7 sites in our district. These sites include Tanacross, Dot Lake, Mentasta, Tatlin, Northway, Eagle, Toke, and a district-only correspondence school. We do not have a statewide correspondence school. Except for Tanacross, which is 12 miles from Toke, most of the other sites are a good hour's drive from the central office, with Eagle being 173 miles from the central location. Eagle is only accessible by charter plane 7 months out of the year and a 4-hour drive on dirt roads the other months when the road is maintained. Our school enrollments range anywhere from 10 to 220 students, with half the students in the district residing in Toke School. All of our funding comes from the state. At the present time, even if the governor's plan makes it through the legislature, we will be $559,000 short for the FY06. To maintain the budget and expenses that we currently have this year, increased costs in TERS, PERS, medical insurance for employees, fuels, maintenance on 6 older buildings, along with some declining enrollment in Token Correspondence School, attribute to this loss. If the district has to cut $559,000 from its budget, there will be many program cuts and staff cuts throughout the district. The district has already been cutting over the last 3 to 5 years. We have lost all the fine arts and vocational programs at the smaller sites. The district has cut 11 certified staff over the last several years, along with several classified staff. Custodian time has been cut in half, and all small schools less than 40 students have minimal secretary time, about an hour a day, if that. This year, we had to use half our reserve to fund education in this district after our count proved that we were 48 students short of our prediction. We have also had to cut the hazard busing route for cold weather days, even with temperatures in excess of 60 degrees below zero last year and this. As a matter of information for you, the money given to the districts this year for increases in TERS and PERS was not enough. Our cost for TERS and PERS amounted to $131,507. We received from the state $77,802. So we had to make up the difference of $53,705 with cuts. At some points in time during the year here at the central office, we have talked about closing some of our small schools and busing them to Toke School. This is really not a viable solution to our problem, since our students' bus ride would be in excess of 1 hour each way in extreme temperatures in the winter and on icy and snow-packed roads. What is keeping our district alive right now is $2.4 million worth of grants and $3.6 million worth of capital projects for our aging buildings. But with only 2 maintenance men for the whole district, improvements are slow. Winter months have these 2 men attending to freeze-ups and other problems related to extreme temperatures. Title grants and competitive grants pay for many benefits to our students, but they cannot pay for teachers to teach the basic skills in the classroom required by NCLB. We will not be able to come up with highly qualified teachers in each of our schools by the deadline. The small school teachers teach K-12, all subjects. Even Toke School 712 teachers have many different preps in order to give our students all of what they need to meet the state and district requirements. All our schools this year made adequate yearly progress except one, but that will change without the needed funds. We need $5,362 for a base student base allocation just to keep the status quo of where we are right now. $559,000 worth of cuts in this district will significantly impact every student, and they will not receive anything close to an adequate education. I have only hit the highlights here. Administrative staff are few. My job description is superintendent, but I am also the special ed director and district testing coordinator, and that's because of cuts in the central office. I also evaluate all small schools' teachers, as well as principals and district support staff. Soak School and Northway School principals are the only other administrators in the district. We need your help to keep a viable education for our students in the future. I'm sorry, but HB1, HB73, and HB18 will not be enough. The most net gain we will receive from HB18 is $163,389. We will be $395,000 short of what we need to give our students what they need. Thank you for your time and your help. The district hopes we will have your cooperation in increasing our funding so our students can have an adequate education.
Thank you. Ms. Doyle, any questions for Ms. Doyle? None from the committee. Oh, we do have one from Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Doyle, in the last, like, say, 3 to 5 years, how many staff positions have you eliminated in total? Do you happen to know that number right off the top of your head?
Not specifically. I know 11 certified staff and probably in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 classified staff. And a lot of our classified staff that we do have now are paid by title grants, and the ones that are paid out of the general fund are only special education intensive aides.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Gatto?
Yeah, thanks. Ms. Doyle, you mentioned you had 450 kids. How many certified teachers are there in your district?
There's a right around 48.
So the ratio of teachers to students is actually less than 10 to 1?
No. Well, you have to realize that at some of the smaller sites, you've got K-12 students. You have two or three teachers teaching all of the subjects, and that's pretty hard to do when you have, I have Tana Cross as one teacher, K-8. Teaching all of the subjects. Dot Lake has two teachers with, at count time, 18 kids teaching all of the subjects. Mentasta, we're going to have to cut one teacher there. They had four this year. One was a special ed teacher teaching all of the subjects, K-12, for about 35 kids. So it goes kind of around like that. Toke School has 15 teachers with about, at count time, 223 kids.
Thank you, Ms. Doyle. That's one teacher
per elementary grade, and then the rest of the teachers teach the high school.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Doyle, for your testimony. I'm asking people who are testifying to try and keep it to, like, 3 minutes or so. We've got a lot of people in line. We're not going to make them all today, so I just want to try and get as many in as we can. And again, to try and keep your comments to as direct as you can. Also, I'm going to ask if those who do have written testimony, if you could send it to my office, I'll make sure that the committee members do receive a copy of your testimony. At this time, we will move over to the Matt Sue. I believe we have Robert Doyle.
Yes, my name is Robert Doyle. I'm the superintendent for the Matt Sue School District, representing 15,500 kids as the second largest school district in the state. I want to thank our representatives, Gatto and Newman, for allowing us to testify today. Our budget that we proposed to our school board is balanced, and is balanced on the governor's proposed 4880 without any cuts, and we will be rehiring all of our tenured and non-tenured staff shortly. Our board has passed a resolution to support $49.95, which is a increased amount similar to what Kodiak has asked for, and that would allow us to enrich and enhance some opportunities for staff. Last year, when we got additional funding from the legislature and which was approved by the governor, we lowered our class sizes, We added additional courses at our high schools, but we have now run out of classroom space. As a growing school district, the only ways we'll be able to utilize additional monies would be to extend instructional time before and after school with students, restoring teaching supplies, textbooks, improving our staff development efforts, continuing with curriculum alignment, doing more with our vocational programs, and designing interventions to address challenges from growth and overcrowding. We do think that the TERS and PERS issue is a serious issue. It's a long-term and short-term issue. And along with additional funding, we would support legislative efforts to revise TERS and PERS and maybe take a look at a fourth tier. Let's see. The only other things I could add at this point would be that we continue to be opposed to the area cost differential studies, which would basically take money from some school districts and give it to others. And it was a flawed study several years ago, and I believe it continues to be a flawed study. The one thing that I can note that it is difficult for the legislature to address a high enough base student allocation to offset all losses from enrollment decreases. And I think that's going to be the real struggle for the legislature this year, is how to address needs in school districts that are losing enrollment. In our case, we're not. And the governor's budget is what we balanced off on, but we would support $49.95 if there was any way to address that.
Thank you, Mr. Doyle. We have a question from Representative Gatto.
Hi, Bob. Welcome. Just a simple question. Same question I asked Carol is, how many certified teachers do you have?
Right now I have about 1,000, and it's not it's for our entire bargaining unit, so I have about 1,000 teachers, but that would include our special ed specialists, and they would serve the needs of 15,500 students.
Thanks, Bob.
Community.
Any other questions for Mr. Doyle? Thank you, Mr. Doyle. At this time, we will go over to Fairbanks, try and make sure we get cover our state as adequately as we can. Nick Stayrock.
Thank you, Chairperson Newman and members of the committee. My name is Nick Stayrook. I'm the Chief Information Services Officer for the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. I want to start by thanking the legislature in general for early consideration and action on education funding bills. We hope to avoid notices of non-retention, which are so disruptive each year. We also appreciate looking at the two-year funding in hopes that something will occur there, too. In the governor's State of the State address, he recognized two things regarding education funding. One, the need to help school districts with the TERS and PERS and retirement costs. And secondly, the increased costs of energy, especially fuel costs. And we certainly appreciate the governor's addressing those issues and introducing a budget that looks at those. There are several bills that allocate additional funds to assist districts with these increased costs. I'm not going to look at those individually, but I'd like to just address some general points. In addressing the two issues identified by the governor, we think that he's certainly addressed minimum bare level of funding for education. There are additional increases in districts all across the state for things like health care and other costs. And that means that we're either going to have to dip into fund balances or make cuts in various places. Since the passage of the No Child Left Behind Act, schools have been under pressure to increase student achievement across all of our grade levels. We can no longer maintain the levels of student achievement we have, but we must get better. And consequences for schools who are not making adequate yearly progress requirements can be very severe. We ask for and support education funding that goes beyond maintenance level funding for education, addressing things like PERS and energy cost and health care. What we need is resources for educational programs that will assist us to increase student achievement. These additional programs and new and improved programs are needed to help reach that goal of all students being proficient in reading, writing, and math. In summary, we support early funding, we support the two-year funding, and we certainly support increased in funding beyond what the governor has proposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stayrock. We do have a question from Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The number of students and the number of certified?
We have approximately 15,000. We're actually just slightly under the Mat-Su School District this year, and approximately the same number, about 1,000 teachers across the district, a little over 15,000 students.
Thank you.
And again, I will ask all school districts that are listening here, administrators, if you could please send us as soon as possible, so I can get to the committee, the number of student-to-teacher ratios and also the number that you'd like to see the BSA set at. That will help us try and determine. And if you get that to us as soon as possible, again, any written testimony that you folks have would also be helpful. This is very complicated, and we want to make sure that we do understand everything that you need. Do we have any more questions from the committee? Thank you. At this time, we will go back to Kenai.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Hammond had to leave, so we have Sandy Wathley, who is ready to speak next.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. I am Sandy Wathley. I am the vice president of the school board here. I traveled 95 miles to Sedona to attend this school board meeting last night, and an additional 10 miles to travel to Kenai because I wouldn't get back into Seward in time to attend this meeting. We have a number of staff who travel these distances daily. We have gone through a number of reductions in the services that we provide. We have gone to regional administrators in some of our sites. On my side of the peninsula, we have a regional principal serving three schools. We have a gifted and talented teacher serving five schools. Erosion is partly due to declining enrollments, but it's also due to the fact that we have a area cost differential that we have lived with since Senate Bill 36, which was 97 or 98, that means that we don't have the same level of support in our classrooms that some other districts may have. So we have increased our PTR, our pupil teacher ratio, 2 years ago to balance our budget. We are proposing, with the assuming that we get the governor's increase, that we would reduce the K through 3 level of staffing. That doesn't address the secondary levels. We are looking at Seward at a middle school of 99 students with one principal and four teachers. This barely covers our basic subjects. It doesn't cover any exploratories. We are down to bare bones in this district, and part of it is our area cost differential problem. And therefore, we passed on our school board last night what we would need to reinstate the PTR of 3 years ago when we made the cuts, a figure of base student allocation of $5,086, an additional grant of $114 per student to address the area cost differential decreases. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wasilli. We do have a question from Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Kenai is somewhere in between the largest and the smallest school district, so I'm going to ask you a similar question. How many students do you have, and how many certified do you keep?
We are the fourth largest district.
9,600.
We have 9,600 students spread over 26,000 square miles. Not all on the road system, and we have, I believe, 600 certified teachers.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Wesley. Any more questions from the committee? Representative Wilson?
I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment. You know, just by asking how many students there are and how many teachers there are certified doesn't really tell the story, because that doesn't tell us how many schools they have. So I just want to make sure that that's brought out.
And again, I will ask school administrators to please provide as much of that information as we can to the committee. If you would like, my fax number to my office is 907-465-4822. I have an 800 number, 1-800-505-2678. Again, you can also find that on the website. Let's wrap Kenai up here today and get Margaret Gilman. Ms. Gilman, if I could please ask you to keep your comments confined as much as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the Kenai moderator. Ms. Gilman had a time constraint, so we have no one else at this point in time to testify from Kenai.
Thank you, ma'am. At this time, we will go to Juno. Connie Newman.
Oh, yes. Hello. Thank you. For the record, my name is Connie Newman, and I'm the superintendent for the Chatham School District and for the Pelican School District. Chatham is an REAA that covers 32,000 square miles, and there are four sites, which include Angoon, Gustavus, Cluckwan, and Tenneke Springs. We did contract with Pelican so that I would provide service to that single site district, and they are also a part of our picture here. There are three things I would like to ask. And before I do, I would like to thank you for taking the time, and I'd like to thank the governor for submitting a proposal to look at forward funding to address our needs. I agree that we do not have enough funding now, and I know that we will be talking about this more. We have experienced a 9% decline in our enrollment, which is a substantial loss that we have to find this year. To look at the continued decline next year, it will be an additional decrease of about $450,000 to our budget. So what I would like to ask for is that we would be given a hold harmless so that we can make adjustments to our budget over a three-year period. And the other part I'd like to ask for is that you would fund the administrative code so that when districts look at restructuring, there would be some compensation to help offset the cost of sharing the district services. I know there is a potential for funding that could be available if you were to consider that. The last thing I would like to ask the state to do on the behalf of the schools in our area is that E-rate has been a troublesome spot for some of the districts in Alaska, and it would be helpful if we could send a message to the senators that if they could reconcile the issues with E-rate so that it does not impact the programs that we offer here in our areas, it would be beneficial for the students. I know that in Cluckwan, because of our language in our E-rate, it has been denied, and the state's doing a wonderful job in Alaska to help get it corrected. But as a consequence, until we get the appeal done, little things like disconnecting the phone service are happening. So whatever help you can provide to help intervene so that they understand what it is Alaska does to fund the public schools would be greatly appreciated. Again, thank you for the time, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. Any questions from the committee? Representative Wilson?
Connie, would you explain to the committee exactly what you're talking about when you talk about E-rate?
Well, this past year, Peggy, what has happened is, you know, they were looking at holding the funding of E-rate at the federal level to the same standard as other federal monies. As a consequence, the funding letters did not go out to all the applicants to determine if they were approved or not. In addition to the federal level government determining how to best monitor the E-rate monies, Chatham and other districts in the state of Alaska and throughout the nation were audited. And in that audit process, we had to submit information justifying that with our budget numbers that we could support technology innovation for instruction in addition to whatever help the federal government gave us for E-rate. And this problem that has come up is that, you know, the Alaska state funding gives you an allocation. So this foundation amount is what we use to build our budget for student services. Chatham, of course, as an REAA, relies solely on the appropriations given by the state. Because that word foundation is in the budget that I had submitted to the feds in that audit review, they have denied our application because there's a question about the funding or that foundation concept. And so, and it's hurt several districts in the state.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. We just need to keep moving along here, folks. I certainly don't mean to cut you off. If you could please send the committee a little bit more information on the definition and the purpose of E-rate, I would certainly appreciate that. And we'll make sure that the whole committee gets it, Ms. Newman.
Thank you.
Right now, I'd like to move over to Anchorage. We have Carol Como and Tim Steele there.
Representative Newman. This is Tim Steele, and I am here with Carol Como and Larry Wiggett. We've been working on the budget process since about October when we started looking at assumptions for this next year. We were very pleased to, in November at our association board meeting, to have the governor present an increase in funding, a two-year budget early funding. But it wasn't too long after that that we realized we were still about $10 million shy in what we needed for a maintenance level budget. But because of the commitment we felt from the governor and from legislators that we met at various times throughout the off season, we felt there was a strong commitment for increased funding for education this year. And so we built our budget on the governor's proposed numbers and went about our process of coming up with a balanced budget with the $10 million in cuts. We passed our budget, balanced budget, a week ago, and in that budget was included loss of teachers' position, increase in class size, a loss of assistant principals, and at least one administrative director level position. We also cut significant cuts to our supply budget and dipped into our undesignated fund for $6.5 million. Our legislative committee, a number of board members from various large districts met on a teleconference to try and come up with a per student number that we could all support with a unified front. But it wasn't long into that teleconference until we realized that we all had different needs. Some districts desperately needed a continuation of debt reimbursement, which I wholeheartedly support. But other districts needed, because of drops in enrollments or particular needs in their area, needed a substantial increase in the funding formula. Our legislative committee met after that teleconference to see what we could come up with, and they basically came up with a number of 50.27 per student, which would keep us whole, would allow us to reinstate cuts that we had made in preparing our budget. We were a little concerned. Well, last night at our board meeting, we debated this funding question for probably 2 hours and had a thorough debate on a number of funding levels. One concern was certainly the fact that the federal law, federal mandates continue, but federal funding is likely to decrease this next year. We also certainly have pressures to increase student performance to meet AYP targets and the graduation high school qualifying exam. So we have a lot of needs. Last night during that debate, like I said, we debated for a couple of hours, and we did pass a resolution, which I believe you have, resolution ASDR 2004-2005-10, and in that resolution we basically present a case for a funding level of 5120. This funding level represents an increase in funding, which would allow us to do more than a maintenance level operation. We have some serious needs in terms of we would like to decrease class size, but we also need to make some serious investments in our information system, student information systems, so that we can track student performance and make fast, timely decisions on how to improve student achievement.
Mr. Steele, we are running out of time. I want to make sure that Ms. Como does have a chance to speak here. And I do have some students that I really would like to hear from in their Juno audience here. So we're going to try and get to Ms. Como and then her three students. I do want to also let folks know that we will be hearing more testimony on Thursday on this. We do want to hear your needs. I do realize it's important. You know, I think the board is very well aware of the insurance and health transfers, enrollment, fuel, and maintenance problems around the district. So at this time, I don't want to cut you short, but I do need to make sure everybody gets heard. Thank you, Mr. Steele. If we could please hear from Ms. Como.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Newman, and I will be very brief. Just for your record, for the budget that was passed a week ago in Anchorage, we are projecting an enrollment of 49,289 students, and that's a decline of 165 students from this year. And we have 3,211 certificated staff who are in the teachers' bargaining unit. So hopefully that gives you that information. Just to repeat a couple of things Mr. Steele emphasized, we are very, very concerned about going backwards as far as class size. This board and community have prioritized class size for years as the number one priority, and the last thing that we brought to the budget cuts was a 0.25 increase in class size through K-12, which equates to about 20 teaching positions. If we're able to get additional funding above what we've gotten now built on the governor's budget, that would be absolutely our first priority to look at that class size issue. But the other one that has a direct impact on the instructional program is the 10% across the board supply and equipment cut, because that is going to impact the ability to purchase new textbooks, some of the curriculum changes, some of the intervention materials that we are seeing success with. So the budget that was, the resolution that was approved last night by the board is higher than had been previously discussed, but the contention with the board was that we need to do more than just get back to the $10 million that we just cut. We need to do more with class size. We need to intervene for our students, and we definitely need to do something about increasing physical activity and health education for our young people, among many other areas. So we really thank you for your attention, and that's really the conclusion of my testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Como. Any questions from the committee? Representative Garrow?
Thank you. I'll try and keep this quick. Carol, you just mentioned that under the governor's proposal, what would happen to class sizes? You said something about ratio. You said 4 point something, but you cut out.
Our budget that was passed by the board a week ago uses the governor's budget as the base, and that would then, because of the budget, to bring it balanced, we cut 20 teaching positions, which is 0.25 across the board.
Thank you, Ms. Como. And if you could please provide some of those numbers again in writing to my office, fax 907-465-4822. And that's all. This time I would like to bring our three students from Juno who are here to learn a little bit more about education and how it all works in Alaska. And thank you for their dedication and time to try and make the system better and learn from their level. Please state your name and who you represent.
Okay. Hi, my name is Joy Beaver. I'm a student at Jimmer Douglas High School. I've been talking to Mary Hakala with Kids Count. My friends and I are concerned about what is going on at the high school.
And your friends' names are?
This is Audrey Ackerman and Cynthia Katsik. I met with some senators to discuss this topic. Audrey and I went to a meeting at Centennial Hall a few weeks ago. And we realized that it's really hard for you to get some money, and we realized some of the problems. We see your side and we see our side. And I also realized that the money that you give the schools, you have no say in what it goes to. So we are planning to meet with the school board about what it goes to next year. I noticed some of the problems with money, like I said. I talked to Senator Kim Elton yesterday when I came here. We went on a tour around the Capitol building. I did some research on the No Child Left Behind Act, and most of the research I found was nationwide, not just for Alaska. And I just did an outline on what my two friends are talking about. So.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for these fine young students? Representative Lynn.
Yes, I'd like to, first of all, I'd like to congratulate you for being here. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. But what's the very best thing you say about your teacher and your school district, your school, where you go, what's the nicest thing that's going on at your school?
At my school, is I talked to some of the staff there, the staff and the administrators, the principal, I talked to all of them. And I think that a lot of them really want to help students. It's just very frustrating. So it's kind of nice to know that they really do want to help. And they are really there for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you to you students. And I'm sure that as like myself, I have invited these students and any other students that would like to come visit me in my office and learn a little more about education. Please feel free to, we'll try and make sure we can try and get you in as soon as we can. And I'm sure I speak for the committee on that recommendation. And thank you for your time. Are you done?
I think each one of them wants to say something.
Oh, did you each want to make a comment?
Please.
Oh, please feel free.
Thank you. My name is Audrey Ackerman, and I'm a sophomore student at Juno Douglas High School. Personally, what I'd like to say is that I think the biggest problem the school has right now is the dropout rate. And I think a major contributing factor to that is that the ratio of students to teachers is too high to provide them with enough environment that would motivate them to stay in school.
Do you know approximately what in your class is what the highest and lowest ratios to student to teacher is? Give us an idea.
Not at this time for the entire student body, but personally most of my classes are between 30 and 35 students per teacher.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the committee? For Audrey? Okay, we have Cynthia.
Hi, I'm Cynthia. I go to JDHS. I'm a freshman, and I'm also concerned, like, because all the dropouts, there's, like, a lot around, you know, and there's not enough desks in our classes. Like, some students, they just sit in, like, chairs, so, yeah. Of course, they have nothing to write with.
We have Representative Wilson has a question for you, Cynthia, and that's Cynthia Katzik for the record.
Okay, Cynthia, so you're telling me that there's not enough desks in some of the classrooms, so some of you just are sitting in chairs and some of you get to sit behind a desk. Is that quite often? Is that in a lot of classrooms? Or
I'm not sure. Like some of my classes, it's like that. I don't know about other ones.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I've talked to some principals, and I noticed you mentioned the dropout rate, and you probably noticed the effect of kids who drop out. But what about the truancy? Are you you keep track also of truancy, kids that just show up Mondays or only Tuesdays and Fridays or so, and have some idea about how well and how likely these kids are to finally become dropouts?
I don't know.
You don't know?
That's kind of a deep question there.
Yeah, but they're there in the classroom.
They certainly are. Yeah. I'm sure that they're all going to be fine students and graduate with honors, though. Do we have any more questions for these students? Representative Guerra?
Thank you. Cynthia, the question's for you. Just we heard from one of your peers the size of their classes. Can you give us a sense of what size your main classes are at JDAHS? And also, I just want to thank the three of you for testifying and keep up the good work.
It's about the same as there's 30 to 35.
30 to 35 kids in a class?
Did we have any more questions from the committee? Representative Will,
I'd ask
Lynn.
One of the other ones, what's the very best thing about your school? But other than money, what one thing could we change, or you guys change at your school that make things better, if you had the power to do that? What one thing would you like to change?
One thing I'd like to change is a lot of kids struggle because the teachers can't go around going one-on-one because there's way too many kids. And I think that classes should be smaller so the teachers can help, because I've talked to most of the teachers at JDHS. And I think the classes being smaller would be a lot better.
I agree with you. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
I have a question for anybody, one of three that you'd like to answer. In physical education, how many hours a week do you have in physical education? Do you feel that should be increased, or is it adequate?
I think it's adequate for my personal opinion, but I don't know about for Audrey or Cynthia.
How many hours a week do you have?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Like two? Or do you not take PE this semester?
Yeah, it's the same as a regular class.
Okay, so you have five PE classes a week?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Thank you, girls.
Thank you.
And have a good day. And that will close today's committee hearing.